us. Let him do it. I appreciate you, brother. Preach to us.
Psalm 45. And this morning we have arrived at verse 9. Psalm 45, 9. I would like to read three verses. I read four yesterday, didn't get them all in. So let's read three verses, and that should posture us for, God willing, tomorrow morning we'll be able to finish it. Nine verses, 9, 10, and 11. May I read them? King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen. I'm interested in her today. The queen. Notice she's in gold, dressed in gold. Not just any gold, but the gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter. Consider, incline thine ear. Forget thine own people. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord. He is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Worship thou him. Three little verses. It's amazing how it seems. Well, let me just start at verse 9. Let's just start right there. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. It seems like the king, and he's not just a king, he's a warrior. Remember the white horse. And he's not just the king, and he's not just a warrior. We learned yesterday morning, he's God. I mean, what else can you ask for? King, lawyer, and God. And he has arrived. And when he arrives, it seems like the stage is set. It seems like there is an event that is about to transpire. There are here a group of honorable women, and there is here the presence of the queen. The queen. If you'll allow me a little bit of latitude, if you'll give me just a smudgeon of, I think they call it typology. I want to present something for your consideration. We got a king. We got a king who smells fragrantly. We've got a king who has entered into a royal procession. We got a king who has arrived at a place where there's a line of maidens, and there is the one he loves standing in front of him. I may be stretching it. Looks to me like it's a wedding. Looks to me like somebody is fixing to get married. Now, I guess this is a statement of prophecy. Many of you perhaps will agree with me. I myself am heading to a wedding. I think sometimes it's called the marriage of the Lamb. Gonna be a supper associated with that thing too, thank God. I just want you to notice the queen in this. Then we'll talk about these honorable ladies. Notice the queen, if you will. Now, there is room for discussion. Who is this queen? I was reading Dr. A.C. Gabeline, a brilliant, a dispensationalist, sort of in the line of the old Plymouth brethren, Dr. Schofield and McIntosh and John Dar. And he is adamant. He said the queen is Israel. Said there's nothing she can be but Israel. But I looked at the noun that is used for queen. It is never used of Israel. It is never used of a single Jew. Every time this noun appears in the Old Testament, I'm going to need an amen here, it is used of Gentiles. I say it is used of Gentiles. You're not about to tell me that God Himself, eternal God, the God who ends every battle in which He'll ever be involved, the God who is dressed in came out of ivory palaces. You're not telling me that God would be interested in a bunch of low-down, stinking, good-for-nothing, backwoods Gentiles, do you? Let me put it in one word. It's called grace. Hallelujah. Grace, the marvelous grace of God. Yep, I believe these are Gentiles right here. You go to the Old Testament and you look up the word for Gentiles. Listen, it's goi. It's spelled G-O-I, goi. What in the world does it mean? This is the definition. Go, and it's a group of peoples, but the definition means those that are backwards, those that are behind, those that are ignorant, those that are a bunch of nobodies. I got to have a little room right here. You're looking at a fellow today, I'm not a thing in the world but a nobody. I'm a low down, good for nothing, ought to be dead and in hell already, but I'm telling you, one day the King looked my way. Hallelujah. One day the darling Son of God sent His good Holy Ghost, convicted me, drew me to Himself, and I got saved. I got saved. Thank you. I did not merely make a decision. I got blood washed, born again, on my way to glory. Hallelujah. I'll never forget when God saved my soul. Oh, what a Spurgeon said the day God saved is a blizzard the day he got saved. He's going to church, weather so bad he ended up in he had to go to a different meeting. Went down an alley into a little old Methodist chapel. Said the weather was so bad the preacher could not even get there. And said an old deacon, we'd call him a deacon, said he stepped up in the pulpit and said, I don't know what to say today. Said the preacher can't make it. But he said there's a verse in Isaiah 45. Said the Lord said, look, I'm going to need some amens. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. He said, the fellow never preached before. He said, there's a little lad sitting back under the balcony. Son, I just want to say to you, if you don't know him, look through the eye of faith. Look to the Lord Jesus. And that day Spurgeon got saved. He said, when I left that day, he said, the snow looked whiter. He said the city looked brighter. He said, things have never been the same. I want to thank God this old Gentile got saved. There's a queen. But wait a minute. Not only is there... Did you notice how quickly she appears in our narrative? I mean, she's not there and she is there, the queen. Other than in type and symbol and dark shadow, you don't see the queen in Genesis or Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers. You see a nation. You see Israel, you see God working, but you don't see, hope I get an amen, it's a little bit, you don't see a lot of the New Testament church in the Old Testament Word of God. It's muted. She's muted. She's not visibly clear. That's why Paul calls her a mystery, something veiled that God is going to reveal. Oh, preacher, for two-thirds of the Word of God, she is not there. But oh, one day the Savior came.
One day he died on an old rugged cross. One day he shed his blood. Y'all may not be enjoying it, but I'm having a fit down inside. I cannot get over the fact my Savior, my Lord, my precious Redeemer, he died for me. He saved my soul. When he saved me, he put me in the body. He put me in the bride. He made me part of himself. Bless his name. She appears all of a sudden. I want to say thank God for the day of Pentecost. I don't know. Y'all have to listen dispensationally and doctrinally. It just looks to me like the sun come up that morning on the day of Pentecost and there was not an official church yet formed. Oh, there's some followers of Jesus. But oh, that's the 10th day. They'd been praying in one mind and in one accord. And my Bible says to me, there was a sound, hope I get an amen, we're Baptists, but stay with me, of a rushing mighty wind. Holy Ghost showed up on the scene. There were tongues of fire. God birthed into existence that day his bride, his body, help me, his queen, amen. All of a sudden, she shows up. Oh, she didn't just come on the scene rather quickly. She's going to leave here rather quickly. You may be, I ain't going to argue all day with you, I'm not one of them mid-tribulation boys that believes the Antichrist is coming and then we start clocking off 3.5 years and we'll know he's... I just don't see it that way. I've never read of a bridegroom who says to his bride, honey, right before the wedding, I'm going to beat the daylights out of you. I'm going to subject you to 3.5 years of agony and horror, and then we're going to walk the aisle. Then we're going to get married. I just want to say something. That wedding ain't likely to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give the Lord the courtesy and the dignity and the respect we would a proper human being. He's coming to get us. He's coming in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I'll need some amens, and we're out of here. Hallelujah. They'll try to cram it down your throat. Had one do it to me the other day. He said, that's a rapture. He said, I don't believe in the rapture. He said, I looked all the way through my Bible, and it ain't there. Rapture. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel dreading Christ. Then we, which are alive and remain, y'all can help me, shall be caught up, caught up, caught up. I looked at my Latin Bible a minute ago. I want to give you the word caught up in Latin, rapeo. R-A-P-I-O, rapeo. I want to give you the English word that comes from rapio, R-A-P-T-U-R-E, hallelujah. He's going to rapture us. He's taking us to glory. Oh, I like what they're telling me here about the queen. Let's go back, keeping an eye old things. Let's go back to verse number 9. Oh, the queen did stand at thy right hand. Did stand the queen. She's not sitting. She's not even walking down the aisle. She's standing. That's as literal as you can get. She's standing. Brother Steve, I looked at it, parsed it, sitting back here with Deb just a minute ago. The verb is in the passive voice. What does that mean? She's not doing the standing on her own. It's not her strength that's got her there. Passive voice. It's being done to her and for her. Somebody got that girl. Somebody put her in place. Somebody said, I'm standing by you. Somebody said, I won't let you fall. Somebody said, I will strengthen and I will encourage you. Thank God. Thank God. He is empowering us this very day. Stood the queen there by her king. Are y'all all right? Still just a little more. Got to get out of this verse, but just a little bit more. Oh, yeah. I know how she's dressed. In gold. This girl's wearing gold. Undoubtedly, the gown in which she is envisioned has ribbons of gold and strands of gold throughout its composite. She is dressed in gold. Now, excuse this statement. It's for somebody that hadn't been saved but a few days. In the Bible, the metals, M-E-T-A-L-S, have significance. Brass speaks of judgment. Silver generally speaks of redemption. And, get an amen ready, gold speaks of Almighty God. This girl's wearing gold. I'll put it in camp meeting style if you'll smile at me. God's all over her. She is dressed in gold. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm getting that. Hey, I'm a filthy, low-down sinner. I got washed in the blood. Rejoice with me. My sin is gone. Washed away perpetually, eternally. And instead of my filthy rags of righteousness, you know what he gave me? He gave me his very own sinless righteousness. Are y'all all right with that? Listen, one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, and it illustrates this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Paul said, for God made Jesus to be sin for us. He became sin for us. I don't understand all of that theologically, but preacher, I'm going to believe it. It's in my Bible. God made his son to be sin for us, comma, who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. God made his son to be sin for us who knew no sin. Listen up. That we might be made, get a hallelujah ready, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Brother Charles, I may be wrong, but it looks to me like Jesus took my sin and gave me his righteousness. Amen. It looks like he paid my sin debt and exchanged it for the purity of an almighty God. I'm a queen. I'm getting married. I'm going to the palace. Hallelujah. Gold. And I just saw this a minute ago. I didn't see it last night. The word gold comes from a Hebrew word that means to hide. I'll use my handkerchief just as a simple illustration. It means to hide, to cover, to conceal. Why, the world doesn't know where the gold is. That's why they go mining and prospecting and looking. God knows where the gold is. Hidden. Uncovered. Anybody look at Peter and then say, that rascal, he don't have a half a chance at amounting to anything. He's got a temper. He's so filled with impetuosity and impatience. Why he's a, but God walked by Peter one day, I believe with all my heart, I'm going to need an amen, and he detected some gold down in that boy. The devil will tell you you're good for nothing. The devil will tell you you're worthless. God Almighty will look at you and he'll say, there's some mining that can be done there. There's some gold in those veins. He'll save us. He'll give us the gold of an almighty God. The gold of Ophir. Now, all I know to say about that, that's supposed to be the best gold known in those days in the around the Holy Land? The gold of Ophir. I'll say this, and then one more little thought I want to draw on the gold of Ophir. If God gives it, if God acknowledges it, if God refines it, it is the best. God doesn't do anything but the best. The gold of Ophir. I looked up Ophir. It says reduced to ashes. That's what it means. Reduced to ashes. Now, that's not necessarily because the gold is that. That's just the reduced to ashes. Boy, I got to thinking about that. I believe if something's been reduced to ashes, that means fire. That means flames. That means burned. And Brother Bill, while I know in hell the wicked are not annihilated, I'm going to tell you today, if I'd have got what I deserved, I'd be ashes today. I'd be in hell today. I'd be apart from God, and without God, I'd be a pile of nothing. But oh, thank God, He, like a brand from the burning, He plucked me out of the fire. Hallelujah. She's wearing the gold. She's wearing the gold of Ophir. Wait a minute. Seemed like there's something else in that. Oh, yeah, the queen and there's some king's daughters that are among thy honorable women. Preacher, this to me is the hardest part of the whole song. The queen's daughters are standing there as the wedding is about to occur. Who are they? The queen's daughters. You may want to handle it differently. I'd respect hearing your view. But I don't think the queen's daughters here are Gentiles, or they're certainly not Gentiles of the New Testament church age. That's the queen. Whoever these girls are, by the way, honorable women. Honorable women. I looked up the word honorable women, and invariably in the Old Testament, it means costly, priceless, precious, of great value. Could I make an announcement? A soul is worth a lot more to God than we realize sometimes. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus died to save souls from a devil's hell. These honorable women are precious. They are precious in the eyes of an almighty God. And here they stand. If they're not Gentiles, who are they? Well, I reckon there's some Jews standing in that crowd. Jesus said, other sheep have I that are not of this fold. Here I go. It happened already. It's going to happen again in the tribulation. Hope I get an amen. There's going to be some Jews to get saved. Could I run it by you again? There's going to be some Jews to get saved. I was preaching week before last. Little revival, little church. And there's a boy, he'd been saved 2 weeks. Saved out of an Episcopalian background. First cousins to Catholics, virtually. And he's sitting there, and he's listening to the... And one night I got to talking about Abraham. I got to talking about the Jews. And he asked his pastor going out. He said, I don't understand that. Why should I love the Jews? Why should I want the best for the Jews? I just want to pause a minute and say something right here. I believe those honorable women might be some Jews that have been saved. God's invited. Hey, they're going to be some guests at the wedding. They're going to be some bridesmaids at the wedding. Why should I love the Jews? Number one, because my Savior's a Jew. I need a better amen. Number two, I wouldn't have a Bible if it hadn't been for Jewish writers. Number three, thank God. God said if I'd love them, if I'd bless them, He'd bless me. If I curse them, He'd curse me. Said if I'd pray for the peace of Jerusalem, He'd pour His blessings on me. I love Israel. That may be who's standing. Maybe who's standing in that line. You say, preacher, I'm not getting that. Let me just... my imagination, just have a little fun. Who are you, ma'am? You're right here standing at the marriage. And here's, my name's Rahab. My name's Rahab. Well, ma'am, would you just tell us a little? We're interested. Would you just tell us a little bit about your background? And I know what some say, that she was merely a merchant. Flax, ropes on her roof. But when the Holy Ghost told the story of Rahab in the New Testament, I'll take an amen, she's a harlot, folks. Well, you better be careful. You're about to get an old harlot over here at the marriage of the Lamb. No, I'm about to get an old ex-harlot over there at the marriage of the Lamb. I'm glad, thank God, God did it in the Old Testament. God's doing it. He did it in the New Testament. He's still doing it today. He's still saving sinners. If I had time, I'd talk about Ruth a little while. A stinking Moabitess. Curse of God all over her. But that may be her standing there because she too had an experience with the grace of an almighty God. We got to go to verse 10, though. Verse number 10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, incline your ear. Now this is going to be hard. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Now listen up. You can read 5 commentaries and get 6 ideas of what it means. I'm going to give it to you like the Holy Ghost has given it to me. Who's talking? I believe this is the king. I believe this is the bridegroom talking to his lover, talking to his bride, talking to his prospective queen. I want you to notice, he gives her 1, 2, 3, 4 commands. You're not getting it. Look at verse 10. Hearken, there's 1, O daughter. Consider, there's the 2nd one. Incline thine ear, there's 3. And forget thine own people. 4 verbs. See if you smile at me. That's the Lord, okay? Amen. You're not getting it. He gives commands. Amen. He knows what's best. He can outline for us the way we ought to live, and we ought to do what he says. You say, well, he didn't say queen. He said, oh, daughter. I honestly believe this. All the way through the book of Proverbs, a wise instructor is giving wisdom to his son. Oh, my son, my son, my son. In this verse, a wiser instructor than Solomon has showed up. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's giving some wisdom. He's giving some instruction. Not to my son. The church is portrayed as a bride. The church is portrayed. Oh, my daughter. Oh, my daughter. I'll say something. I sure am glad I know the teacher today. I sure am glad for God the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 10. Let's at least notice some of them. Hearken, oh, daughter. Hearken, oh, daughter. The little verb. All these are imperative mood verbs. Is shema, shema. Hearken is what it means. Listen. It means listen up. Carries this idea. Paul, don't miss a word. It means, could I quote a verse right here if something wants to stick it in? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Yeah. I was interested in, planning to preach, John 17, that high priestly prayer of Jesus, 26 verses. It's all red letter except that where he asks of his father, lift up his eyes. You know what it is? It's the words of the king. It's the words of the groom. It's the words. We better pay attention to all the Bible, but we sure enough better pay attention to what our Savior said. These are the words of our Savior. Listen. I appreciate something Brother Steve said, and it's about everywhere we go, it's vocalized. A fellow said the other night, he said, Brother Bagwell, I've come to watch you preach. And you're supposed to stay up there. You're supposed to act civil. I can't do it. I've tried. I can't do it. This is just me while I'm preaching. But I'd much rather people come to hear me preach. You know why? And you, I'm not saying anything. Faith don't come by seeing. I guess if you've seen it, your faith has been fulfilled. Faith cometh by hearing. Listen, my daughter, listen. America, do you agree with me, is losing her ability to hear the Word of God. I'm not so sure, but we're in a famine of the hearing of the precious Word of God. Listen, while you're at Taylorsville, next camp meeting you attend. For that matter, when you get home Sunday morning and your pastor stands in the pulpit, tune in. Listen, get every word. That's a wise thing to do if we're going to be the right kind of, if we're going to be the right kind of bride to our lover. I'm in verse 10. Not only hearken, O daughter, consider. I didn't realize, it's going to throw my very words back and forth. Consider. Ra'ah. Ra'ah. It's the same word that's used in Psalm 23 of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Ra'ah. It means now, not just to listen, to look. To keep an eye out. To penetrate, to analyze, to study what's in front of you. I just want to say something. We not only need to hear the Word of God, we need to be in church so we can see what's going on when the Word of God's being preached. I'd love to preach that. I'm not going to take the time to do it. I'm glad there's some things I can hear. I'm glad there's some things I can see. I would not trade anything for what I saw 30 minutes ago when that man of God walked to this pulpit, gave his testimony, introduced his son to preach that message. That is precious. I heard what he said, but I saw how he said it. When Brother Ned a minute ago made his way around here, well, if he had told us about the history of this place, if he had taken time to tell some of the amazing things, we'd still be here. We'd be here tonight. But all, he just bragged on Jesus. He just said a few words, sung a song. I'm glad I was here. I'm going to need an amen. I'm glad I was here to say that. Ra'ah, ra'ah. But I'm not sure it's looking at us as human beings. Who is it for whom my eyes to be trained? It's my Lord. It's my Savior. It's Jesus. Put your eye on him and don't take it off. You say, well, preacher, you ain't got no scripture for that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now watch, watch. Verse 10. Hearken, O daughter, consider and incline thine ear. Incline thine ear. He might be going to say something. Incline thine ear. Brother Curtis, we had this the other week at Burke County. What in the world does that mean? Incline thine ear. The word incline means, and I'm quoting a lexicon, to prick the ear. To prick the ear. That didn't help me a bit. But I remember something I read old G. Campbell Morgan said. It means to prick the ear. See if you get it. To cup the ear. To cup the ear. The Lord's fixing to say something. I'm going to marry him. I love him. His lips are full of grace, you know. Gonna ride that white horse back and whoop a devil. Y'all heard about that. He's fixing to speak.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, preacher.
Cup your ear. Don't miss a single word. Let his whisper be our command. Could I get an amen right there? Boy, this is good advice he's giving his bride. Incline thine ear, and then the toughest one of all to me. Forget your people. Forget the house of your fathers. Now I'm going to say something first because I think it ought to be said. He is not suggesting that we do not honor our mothers and our fathers. Scripture does not contradict itself. What does that mean? Forget the house. Forget your people. When you meet the King, when you get saved, I guarantee you, you're going to do some turning. I'm not there yet. When you meet Him and begin to enjoy His presence, we forget those things that are behind. The songwriter said the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Are y'all getting that? Forget them things that are back there. Reach forward to your darling, your King. As yesterday or the day before, don't remember, we told about Jesus, says He loves righteousness and He hates wickedness. That's exactly what He's asking me to do. Love righteousness and hate wickedness. Are y'all with me? Forget them people. Forget them. And the word there for people, A.M., usually used of, as you would expect, usually used of a Gentile background, and it means this, those people, lewd, filthy, wicked. I'm telling you, don't know about you, I've got some filth in my background. There's some stuff back there I'm ashamed of. There's some stuff back there I wouldn't. But oh, thank God I got my eye on Him. He saved me by His grace. I'm going to marry. We are engaged. We are engaged, hallelujah. And I'm going to lay all that aside, and I'm going to press toward the prize of the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ. This might help. Loving Him, forgetting those things which are behind. Grew up every day of my life, first grade, second grade, third grade, all the way through school, up to high school. Ate a bologna sandwich every day. I love bologna. You have the other, I love bologna. Y'all are looking at me like I ought to be saying Bologna or something. It's baloney, so it is. Debbie Lynn will tell you. I get over at Walmart and she says, get something for sandwiches. It's going to be baloney. By the way, you can get it now with little things of cheese in it, right in the baloney. Saves you money. You don't have to buy the cheese. And I saw some the other day, little pieces of pepper in the bologna and in the cheese. Bologna is the way to go.
Yeah.
Love bologna. But then one day, and I was in school, working at a Winn-Dixie store, back when there's a lot more Winn-Dixies. The meat manager wrapped up a pack of meat and put my name on it. He told me, he said, I've already checked this out with the store manager. Says it's going out of date today. He said, we can't sell it tomorrow. That's the way it was back then. He said, you just take it home. Y'all enjoy it. I drove a Rambler back then. I put it in the car and drove home. And we cooked it. It was called ribeye steak. Y'all had never heard of it neither, had you? Ribeye steak. Honestly, I'd never heard of it. We cooked that stuff. Melt in your mouth. Wonderful flavor. Ribeye steak. Bologna ain't never been the same since.
Yes, sir.
Like to ruin me on bologna. Why'd he tell that silly thing? He's a whole lot better than ribeye steak.
Amen.
If I ever get a taste of him, if I ever fall in love with him, all that baloney in the past, I'll never miss it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's get the last verse. Anybody wouldn't like to preach at Taylorsville's nuts. Oh, I enjoy it. I love your eagerness. and your hunger for the Word of God. This place is built on preaching. I admire that no end, the preaching of the Word of God. Let me get my last verse in, which will be verse 11, will it not? Yeah, I think it is. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. Who said? Somebody said, oh my. I heard them all. Who was it? He shall greatly desire our beauty. That word for beauty, handsome, attractive, lovely, in that sense. What it means, if he's a country boy, he thinks you're plumb pretty. He thinks you're ravish. His heart, the king shall desire thy beauty. And Brother Jamie, that verb desire, as you well know, it's a strong verb. It means he craves it. Means he wants it so bad he can taste it. Can't get it off his mind. Wants to lay eyes on you and on me, on the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I reading that right? Is that in the Bible? He desires our beauty. Now, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't get very audible right here. I don't know that anybody has ever called me pretty. Whoa. Or handsome. In high school, I didn't make nothing. I wasn't the most likely to succeed. I didn't get no letter in sports. Mr. Average to below average. Ain't nobody, till God called me, to ever come up and said, I want to make a picture of you. It don't happen. But I got some good news.
Come on. Come on. Glory
to God. I have found somebody that thinks I'm beautiful. And you got every, I'd like to know who in the world it is. It's him. It's him. He looks down on me. He might not see the long nose. I don't know. He might, don't y'all ever tell this. He might not know I'm bow-legged, but I really am. He might not know all the things I missed out on physically. But I'm telling you what, there's something in this old boy he loves. There's something about Mike Bagwell he thinks is absolutely beautiful. Glory to his name. I'm pretty in his eyes. And I want to tell you something that might encourage you. You're pretty also to him. The king will desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. He is thy Lord. You say, I wonder what in the world that means. The is, it's italicized. I think if you'll look, I believe is italicized. It literally says, he, thy Lord. He, thy Lord. It's one more little line of things I want to share with you. So I'm just going to say, the word Lord there, Adonai, it means boss. It means husband. It means director. It means controller. A lot of people want him as savior. They want him as hell. I'm telling you what, he says, I will save you. I will be your savior, but I'm going to move in. I'm going to take over. Get me an amen. I'm going to be your Lord. Hey, is our Lord. Ain't no doubt who's going to be the head of this home. Hallelujah. It's going to be him. It's going to be the grove. It's going to be the king. And then I finish right there at the end of verse 11. Worship thou him. Am I okay on time? Worship thou him. Boy, you let the feminists get a hold of that. You mean this is a wedding? She's marrying him, and he says, worship thou me. I'm going to make a statement. Depends on who the groom is. Depends on who the groom is. Worship thou him. The Hebrew verb worship, if you'll watch me, I'll show you what it means. It means to hit the deck. It means to fall down on your face in front of the darling Son of God. The world says that's demeaning. That's humiliating. I'm not going to fall down in front. Oh, if you just knew him, if you knew his beauty, if you knew his grace, you would not have any trouble falling down before him and loving him and praising him and glorifying him. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of our worship. I say again, he is worthy. Yes, preacher. Worship thou him. Brother Steve, you'll give me 3 minutes for me. I want to take that word worship in Hebrew to fall down before him. And I want to take it to Greek just to show you its intricacy. Here it is. Proskuneo. Worship. Same idea. Worship thou him. Proskuneo. What does that mean? Pros, that prefix is a preposition. It means to or toward. Brother Pete, if you're right in his face. Pros, kuneo. Kuneo is the Greek word for love. I love him to his face. That's worship. But it is also the Greek word for kiss. Kiss. Kiss him right slap in the face. Now I know somebody's going to say that's a little far out for me. That's a little mystical for me. Proskuneo. Excuse me. I feel it coming on. Don't care what you think of me neither. If I want to bow down before him and worship him Old Testament style, if I want to kiss him heavenward New Testament style, let me alone. Just let me be. Let me love him. Let me praise him. Let me glorify him. Let me worship him. Hallelujah to God. We're going to worship him from now on. Hallelujah. But there's one more level of meaning on proskuneo, face to face, to love and to kiss. But kune, the bare, simple, they call it a radical, the base noun, is the Greek word for dog. Oh man, I can hear it thud. Dog. What has a dog got to do with loving? What possibly can a dog teach me about kissing and carrying on in that kind of fashion? And if you've got a little pet at home, some will, some won't, he'll know you're coming before you get there tonight. He'll get plumb excited. That little tail, Brother Rule will get to wagging. And little old ears, well, get that. He'll cuff him, he'll perk them little ears up. He'll get to running around. He'll get to jumping. His master's coming home. And when you walk in that house, if you're not careful, that little rascal will climb your legs and plant one slap on your lips. Amen. They are loving little creatures. You said, preacher. What are you suggesting? One time, I'd like to be somewhere where somebody forgets their dignity, where somebody lays aside all of that pride we built up, get like a little old dog, get excited about our Savior, want to climb up where he, kiss him, love him, slobber all over him, tell him he's your master, tell him he's your king. Tell him he's your God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For the darling Lamb of God. I'm glad I'm going to the wedding. I'm glad I know the King. I'm glad he's dressed me in gold. Hallelujah. I plan on kissing him forevermore. Amen.
Amen. What? Amen. Shame some of you young fellas got strength to do all that and won't do it. Hallelujah. I'm glad as you get older, you don't have to lose that thrill, that joy of being saved. Amen. Wants to worship the Lord. I remember going to Bible conference years ago. I was just a young Christian, young preacher. And there's three of them ladies from down at Landis Baptist Church. Richard Horn, their pastor then, had brought them to Bible conference. They're sitting in front of us and about four or five rows, and they went to singing, and them ladies went to shouting. They couldn't hardly stand up, couldn't hardly walk, but when God got around, they went to praising God. And I was just sitting there. And the Holy Ghost said to me, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. They don't even have the strength to do what they're doing, and they're praising me, and you're sitting there not saying a word. And you know what I done? I got up and helped them a little bit. Hallelujah. It helped some of you to get like that. Amen. He said worship is hitting the deck. I tell you what'll happen. When the enemy is assailing you and the bombs are falling, the best thing you can do is worship him. You ought to go into your service Sunday morning as a man of God, and this thing about trouble and heartache and people against you, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to hit the deck and go to worship in the Lord. It help your people. It help you too. Amen. I appreciate God touching his servants this morning. What a morning. Yes, he is worthy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Glory to God. I say hallelujah. Bless his name. He's worthy. 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 Hallelujah. He's worthy. Amen. He's worthy. Glory. He's worthy. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Before him and tell him how much you love him. Oh, what a Savior! What a Savior he is! Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, hallelujah! Miss Kim, you come around here and play me something. Hallelujah, bless his name. Oh, he deserves every bit of our worship. He loved us when nobody would. He cared for my soul.